going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Ian Williams, Isaac Soap.
There was a lot, yes.
Right? There were a lot of different guys. Ray McDonald, who's criminally underrated. That's probably the worst word to use.
No pun intended.
Yeah, I did not mean to do that. Ahmed Brooks, who was an outside linebacker, but basically was an edge rusher. When they were good in 2019, D Ford, Nick Bosa, obviously they had Eric Armstead and Buckner, but they also had Ronald Blair. They had random guys that were like stepping up. People forget they had random guys on that team. Kerry Hyder was on that team in 2019 and then ended up leaving and then coming back. So you've got to have depth. That's why, Joe, I'm looking at this and I continue to come back and say they need multiple D tackles in the middle rounds. They need probably another linebacker somewhere early. They need a lot of more offensive line help. And maybe another playmaker. This team is 5 or 6 contributors from this draft away from being back in the playoffs. That's the way I view it.
That's fine. I need this first round pick, though, to be a hit, first and foremost.
Of course.
Because it does feel like this is the round that they've struggled in the most. Like, just think about it. The players that they've been able to re-sign in this regime of Shanahan Lynch that they drafted in the first round is who? Nick Bosa and Brandon Ayuk. Like, that's it. And the Brandon Ayuk one, you regretted it immediately.
But
Did you not?
Yeah, but I kind of considered Debo, who's literally like the 34th pick.
I know, but he was. But I'm telling you, it's different.
Yeah.
And the pay scale is different in the first round compared to the second round. So why it matters. So Mykel Williams, we're going to be joined by Connor Hines here in a second at CBS Atlanta. He was at Mykel Williams' house yesterday, talking about the person, how pumped up he is. And you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco. An Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app. And now broadcasting live from the Laughing Monk Studios. We got Baldy coming up as well in 29 minutes. Baldy's breakdowns. Get to know the 49ers' first round pick from Georgia. And that is refreshing, by the way. Like, because I kept seeing the Eagles do this. I'm an Niners fan. I was like, man, the Eagles, they just keep drafting like the good championship players, right?
Yeah. From high-profile
colleges. Kirby Smart, one of the best in the league, best in the NCAA, I should say.
Great recruiter.
And we're going to talk about it right now with Connor Hines, who joins us on the River Islands guest line. As all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line, isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands, and Lathrop? Connor Hines, CBS Atlanta, was at Mykel Williams' house yesterday for the draft. Connor, good morning to you. How pumped up was Mykel from going from the red and black to the red and gold now?
Good morning, you guys. Yeah, I got to tell you, I mean, just to see the smile on his face when he gets that call from John Lynch, this is a guy who's truly excited to play for the San Francisco 49ers, as he would be for any team. But when it comes to where Mykel fits in for San Francisco, I mean, we knew this would be a quick night for him, but 11th overall, I think that was just the nice surprise of the night at Mykel's watch party here in Atlanta. You know, to see him off the board before his former UGA teammate in Jalen Walker. That was a little bit of a surprise, but you know, let's forget the stats and all the talk about the injuries for a minute. This is a 6'5", 265 brick wall who's going to immediately impact that San Fran D line. And just to see the way he lit up when I said, hey, I don't know if you know, there's a guy with the last name Bosa out there, and he just lit up. He's thrilled to be playing with Nick Bosa. This is going to be a great fit out there, you guys.
So who is this kid? Like, as a person, when I saw Nick Saban on the draft last night, and he's like, hey, this guy's a leader. And, like, this is Nick Saban. You know, people can hate on him all they want. He's one of the greatest coaches in any sport ever.
Especially in Georgia.
You know what I mean?
Continue.
What he says really carries a lot of weight with me. And he's like, this guy was an absolute leader. He's a great kid. Started as a freshman. And I'm watching Saban just beam about him. You've been around the kid. You've been around his family. Who is he? What kind of kid is he? Is he? And who is his family? Like, let us know here in the Bay Area.
Yeah, he really is. He's a soft-spoken guy for sure. But when you play at the University of Georgia, you guys, you have no other choice but to be that leader, but to be that way. Because that's just what, much like Nick Saban, that's the kind of guy that Kirby Smart brings in. And, you know, he's personality plus. You know, he couldn't wipe the smile off his face last night. You know, this is a guy who has kind of been built and shaped by his college experience, as all college football players are, but with the injuries. I mean, he you know, suffered an ankle sprain in the first game of this final season and played most of the season injured. This is a guy who's kind of been shaped by that adversity, if you will, of having to play his entire final season at UGA far from 100%. So that's where you see maybe the limited numbers on the stat sheet this past season. You know, he did have 14 sacks in 3 years at UGA. But the other thing about playing at UGA, guys, is that these defenders at Georgia don't always come out of Athens lighting it up because of the type of defense they're asked to play. I mean, as Kirby Smart says, you got to be willing to eat off the floor, right? That is the kind of guy that Mykael Williams is. He's willing to do whatever on the field for his team. And, you know, in addition to what he does on the field, he's a great culture fit as well.
Talking to Connor Hines, CBS Atlanta, and you just use that Kirby Smart. You gotta eat off the floor sometimes.
Willing to eat off the floor.
Yeah, Shasky just loved that. His eyes beamed
coachisms.
Up. And he's a coach. Shasky's coach. Coaches Little League. He's gonna start using that to his little leagues too. Get out there and eat off the floor. So you talk about the strengths and weaknesses when it comes to Mykael Williams, Connor. What would you say the biggest strength is in his game, and the biggest weakness potentially in his game translating to the next level?
I mean, strength, you got to just talk about his sheer size. I mean, this guy's built like a brick wall, like I said already, 6'5", 265. He can play multiple positions on the defensive line and was asked to do that at UGA. That's got to be strength number one. He's versatile. Weakness, a lot of talk, a lot of criticism about what he did or didn't do in the combine setting. He didn't participate in the combine, but at UGA Pro Day, you know, not the 40-yard dash that he probably wanted to run. Did the ankle injury have something to do with that? Sure. But I think what San Francisco is so excited about is the potential there, right? I mean, the bones are there. Now it's about how you build around it. So I think, understandably so, some reservations about, you know, the stats that he did or didn't put up this past season, the numbers that he did or didn't put up at UGA Pro Day. But I think, you know, John Lynch obviously sees the future there as well.
You keep referencing the ankle injury. Specifically, what you said, sprained ankle, but were there, I mean, obviously there's ligament damage and when that happens, but were there any other injuries specifically that he has been dealing with over the last couple of years or anything that should just be a cause of concern for Niner fans or the Niners themselves?
I think what Mykael told us all last night is that he's 100% healthy now. I don't think there are any other causes for concern. A lot of focus was on that grade 2 ankle sprain this year. He did have to miss 2 games this final season at UGA. But I think I saw a quote somewhere from John Lynch saying, hey, it was only 2 games that he had to miss. Those high ankle sprains are no joke. And, you know, what Mykael told us at Pro Day and again reiterated to me last night was that this is something that NFL GMs and execs really liked, the fact that I was able to play the way I played when I wasn't at 100%. But beyond that, guys, I don't think there should be any other issues. A lot of talk about the ankle, mainly because it happened in that first game of the season against Clemson, and Mikel figured to be such a focal point of the defense this year. No, this was not a typical UGA junkyard defense, as we like to call it down here, that really just lit it up all season. But Mikel has been a part of those defenses in the past as well. Of course, he's a national champion. They won out there on the West Coast back in 2022. Yeah. So nothing really beyond the ankle.
Explain to me, like, we're Niner fans here, and everybody's so down and out because of the bad year that the Niners had. But when you take a step back and you go around the country, I'm always interested to see how people react to the San Francisco 49ers and where their brand is right now. Mm. You know, the Patriots 5, 6, 7 years ago were viewed a certain way. You ask people about them today, and it's not necessarily the same perception. The Chiefs get that benefit of the doubt. Everyone gets to play with Andy Reid and Spagnuolo and Patrick Mahomes. When they found out it was the 49ers, okay, how did the room react?
I think the room reaction would have been the same regardless, to be honest with you. I mean, he's excited to be playing in the National Football League. And I think everyone, like I said, was a little surprised that the pick came as early as it did for Mikel. But look, man, I mean, what is there not to love about playing for that kind of front office? And I think there's a lot of excitement with Robert Saleh, you know, back out there again. And Mikel's aware of that. And it's funny, I asked him, me being a SoCal guy myself, I asked him, hey, Mikel, what does the Georgia boy know about going out to the West Coast? And apparently he goes out there a lot, you guys. Apparently he's pretty familiar with the Bay Area.
Really?
He's going to fit right at home off the field as well. So I think he's over the moon to be playing for that organization. You know, he specifically referenced his conversations with John Lynch leading up to draft night as well. So I don't think there's a lot not to love if you're Mikel, that's for sure.
Hey, Connor, we really appreciate the time, man. Good stuff talking
Great
about Mikel
stuff.
Williams, and we'll do it again next time. Thanks, man.
Thanks, you guys. Appreciate it.
That's Connor Hines, CBS Atlanta, who was at Mikel Williams' house last night for the draft, talking about the person, talking about the leadership, injuries, strengths, weaknesses, all of that. I kept coming away from him saying, yeah, they didn't expect to get drafted that high. I don't know how I feel about that. Like, there was John Lynch talking yesterday. I don't know if you heard it after. He's like, yeah, we might have been trying to trade up to get him because we thought someone was going to. Like, from what Mikel and his party all thought, like, he was going to get drafted maybe later in the teens.
I don't think it matters. Just be good.
No, I know. But, like, do you think they reached it all is what I'm asking. You think they could have drafted? Like, John Lynch is talking about trading up. Sounds like they could have traded back and still got him. I know. That's not how things.
It takes two to tango.
I get that. I'm just wondering how you, like, he referenced that multiple times that they were a little surprised. Does that shift your thoughts on the whole pick at all, is what I'm asking.
Not really. Okay. You know, I mean, look, had they taken the fourth or fifth offensive tackle, I think that would have been a reach to me.
Okay.
Like, this was the second defensive end off the board.
Okay.
You know, whether they wanted to go Shamari Stewart or go with him or, you know, I would have been okay with Jalen Walker. I love the other kid, Campbell, out of Alabama.
I think
linebacker.
That's what they were kind of alluding to, too. Like, they were surprised he went before Walker is kind of what he was alluding to as well. So,
and I like Walker, too, but I think D-line is more of a pressing need than even linebacker.
And we'll talk about Brian Baldinger on the other side. Baldy's breakdown, 730, 888-957-9570. In the meantime, how do you feel about the pick and the position? Was that the position of need for the 49ers in the first round for you? 49ers fans, 888-957-9570. Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line is also open for business. But on the other side, Brian Baldinger, brought to you by Chilton Autobody.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Courtesy of the River Islands guest line, Brian Baldinger knows his stuff. Baldy Breakdowns, you know him, you love him. Breaks down players and prospects better than anyone else, as far as I'm concerned. Maybe Greg Cosell, who's also a friend here at the station. But we love Baldy, and he talks about it in a much more unique way than anyone else. He gets me fired up. All the prospects. Like, it doesn't matter who he was talking about yesterday, because he did a little breakdown of every single draft pick. Like, he got me fired up about anyone. Will Johnson, who's, I guess, the guy that's falling right now. He has, like, a knee concern cornerback. He's, like, the guy that's falling right now. I watched some highlight tapes of him. I was like, oh, my God. Like, I don't know. Maybe you risk it. I don't know. But it's going to be very interesting to see day two of this draft where the 49ers will go. Will they go offensive line, as you've alluded to, that they need help with? Pick 43, do they double down on the defensive line? Because Lord knows they need more help. Defensive tackle, maybe. Who knows? Secondary, not sure. A linebacker, I don't know. We'll talk to Baldy about it in about 10 minutes, though, Joe. But good stuff with Connor Hines, who talked about the person that is Michael Williams with us last segment.
The beauty of the draft is we're all entitled to an opinion, right? Like, we watch college football. It's the second watched sport in America right now. It's not basketball, it's not baseball, it's college football.
Yes.
The NFL is number
one. Second watch product, I'd say, because football is the most watched sport, but the product, NFL,
I
and
consider
then
them two separate sports.
That's fine,
but I get what you're saying. That's fine. Like, because like, I don't consider the WNBA and the NBA the same sport in the sense of, like, I'm breaking it down, but whatever. The semantics of the word. You get where I'm going.
Yes.
We all have opinions, and we all have like these projections of who's going to look good in this scenario, who we would take, who we wouldn't take, and I get it. And today's the day for a lot of teams. They're either super optimistic or super depressed or somewhere in between. And I think about all of the picks as a fan that I've seen in my life, 42 years old, and then I think of like the on-air personality, I hate that word, but of me doing this job.
You remember the worst picks than the best ones most often, more often than not. I do anyways, because I've had a lot of heartbreak when it comes to draft in my fandom. You just think of names that just, like, Darius Hayward Bay, Alex Leatherwood, Damon Arnett, Abram, Alex Smith, AJ Jenkins. Right,
we twist ourselves in a pretzel to pretend like Alex had this phenomenal Niner career, and it's laughable to me.
Well, we twist it now because
it's just laughable.
He's a part of the media.
He's a great guy.
That's helped his image. The way it ended, him coming back from a gruesome leg injury where he almost lost his leg to play again. Like, It did end on a high note for him. Like
his best years were with Kansas City, statistically.
Yes. No, that's fine. I thought he had a respectable career.
Yeah.
But for the 49ers, let's call it what it is. He was a bust of a pick.
Well, and the problem was is that too many people in the media, for me, for my personal opinion, just wouldn't come out and say, like, he's not that good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they took the wrong guy. They should have took Aaron Rodgers.
They got Colin, they went to Colin Kaepernick and didn't look back. Let's just... That's how it was.
Yeah, and they don't. I'm convinced they never even get to the Super Bowl with Alex Smith that year. They would have lost to the Green Bay Packers in the first divisional game, which ended up being the last playoff game in Candlestick because they scored 45 points in that game.
Yeah, Cap was insane.
Yeah, people forget that.
He was so good.
But I think Kaepernick's a great example. Baker Mayfield's a great example. Things can go really well for someone early on, and then stuff happens that is out of your control or it is a part of your control. You mature. You get injured. There's a coaching change. You know, I bring this up. Someone had brought up Jim Plunkett. We were talking about Stanford quarterbacks.
We were talking about it yesterday. Yeah.
I go, dude, Jim Plunkett was the rookie of the year in New England. Back then, it was the Boston Patriots.
And after winning the Heisman. Yeah, he was the number one overall pick.
Rookie of the year. They bring in a different coach who wants to run the triple option. And he gets phased out. And then bounces around the league and was a Niner, was a Raider, and then finds himself with the Raiders and reaches the potential that I think he probably in his heart felt like he had all the time. Some people just develop at a different age. I think about like Rich Gannon, you know, being a great quarterback later on in his career. Right. Kirk Cousins has a little bit of that Rich Gannon stuff in him.
Geno Smith right now, right?
So there's a lot that can go into what makes or breaks a player. And I think this sport, more than any other, all of the dominoes have to fit brilliantly. Alden Smith is a great example of a woulda, coulda, shoulda player. I had no idea who Alden Smith was when we took him.
No.
He had a broken leg of some sort in Missouri and came out with very little production his junior year. And it was like, who? We're taking what? And it ended up being one of the great draft picks of all time. But a lot of the red flags that people had identified with him prior to getting drafted ended up, you know, rearing their ugly head.
God, he was so good.
He had Hall of Fame talent.
We forget. God, he was so good.
Joe, he had something like 50, you know, sacks in his first 45 games or something.
Insane.
He was unbelievable. And you know, his own personal demons simultaneously with the organization, in my opinion, doing things that enabled bad behavior off the field, not that they have to babysit a guy 24/7, but when you allow a guy to get a DUI, I don't allow you, when he gets a DUI on a Friday and you play him on a Sunday, you're telling me that you think that behavior is acceptable, and it shouldn't be.
Well, and that's why I pivot back to Mykal Williams, drafted 11th overall yesterday out of Georgia, and we just talked to Connor Hines, who knows him inside and out, CBS Atlanta, knows the player, knows the family. Great character in Mykal Williams. That is important to me. If I'm investing this high of a draft pick in you, don't be a knucklehead. Don't do dumb things. And quite frankly, that tells me a lot because, you know, as we know from that Georgia defense, some stuff happened there, right? And he wasn't a part of any of that, which, again, he could be a bust as a player, but not as a person as far as I'm concerned.
No doubt.
You cannot whiff on that. Like, say what you will about, again, another guy, Solomon Thomas. Just the player, it wasn't it, right? But as a person, great person, great in the community, his whole story, there's so much baked into it, the mental health awareness, all of that, love that. That's something I can, you know what, I get it. It didn't work out as a player, but I'm not going to question the person there. Mykal Williams, hopefully he is that same guy, because when I look at this 49ers team right now, there is a lot of high character and leadership. Brock Purdy, high character guy, leader. And hopefully that contract does get done sooner rather than later. Fred Warner, are you kidding me? That is the ultimate leader on a defense, right? George Kittle, right? Big time leader. His whole handling of the Devondre Campbell situation last year was incredible. So I think Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch are definitely highlighting those guys because, I'll be honest, there was a lot of me, it felt like last year at the 49ers. A lot of me before we. Whether that was contract negotiations, whether that was when they were a part of the team, whether it was, you know, after a game, not showing up to media and refusing to do it after a blowout loss, right? I don't need to go to list all the names, but you kind of get who I'm talking about here. There was a lot of that, and I don't need that heading into this year. And hopefully Mykal Williams can help set the tone for all the rookies coming into this class.
Now,
right?
He's got to be good. Because all those character things, like, I think Justin Fields is a, like, outstanding person. When I hear him and talk and stuff, I'm like, dude, wow, he's really mature.
I'm saying at the minimum, you've got to have that high character. That needs to be baked into the equation.
But you can also take more risks. Like, Philly thought that they could take a risk on a Jalen Carter because they had Fletcher Cox at the time, because they had certain people with that organization.
And some Georgia players, N'Kobe Dean, Jordan Davis, guys that knew him very
well. Exactly. And so I think infrastructure matters, right? But there is an element of, like, don't be a jerk. Look at Russell Wilson.
R.I.P.
When you're good, people will tolerate you being a jerk to a degree. The minute you're not good, get out of here. Look at Aaron Rodgers.
Where's Russell Wilson at? I completely forgot.
He's
a New York Giants. See, I completely forgot. Is he going to start in place of Jackson Dart?
I don't know. But there's more tolerance when you're elite. But once you're a jerk and you're not elite, then the talent tolerance equation starts to factor into it. And it's like, are you worth the headache?
We got Brian Baldinger coming up here in a couple minutes, courtesy of the River Islands Guest Line. Baldy breakdowns, talking about Mykal Williams, the draft, what the 49ers can target later, his initial thoughts on just the first round in general. A lot of crazy stuff. It happened early. So we knew Cam Ward was going number one overall to the Tennessee Titans, and that happened. And then the Jacksonville Jaguars traded up three spots. After a lot of people were mocking Ashton Jeanty to them, which I always thought was kind of weird because you already have Travis Etienne. I don't know why you would do that. But they wanted Travis Hunter very badly. I guess Liam Cohen, new head coach, they wanted him that badly that they're willing to give up next year's first round pick to move up three spaces. I thought that was a head scratcher. I thought the Atlanta Falcons trading back into the first round to give up a first round pick next year for the Rams to get, Pierce. That was an interesting one to me. I don't get that. I thought the Rams did very well there. I thought, actually, the Rams might draft Shador if he was kept falling there. I thought maybe because Stafford's on this year-to-year deal, right?
Mm-hmm.
I thought maybe the Rams will do that, but they didn't. They traded out of the first round, so we'll definitely see there. But definitely defense is on top of mind when you look at the rest of the NFC West yesterday. You got Walter Nolan, defensive tackle out of Mississippi, going to the Arizona Cardinals. And then you got, obviously, Seattle Seahawks trying to shore up that offensive line, getting Gray Zabel, which is a great name. He sounds like a wrestler. Gray Zabel. Is he fighting at WrestleMania against Stone Cold Steve Austin? North Dakota State offensive tackle going to Seattle. Obviously, Sam Darnold there now trying to protect them.
One thing that I do love about the draft, that just for me, is the journey for the parents, whether it's a whole family, an uncle, an aunt, just the mother, just the father, all of them together. You know, just our little baseball program. I've got, let's say, 60 kids, and the parents are a big part of it. And we have like a saying that I don't just take any player. We're taking parents, and just like, don't be a jerk parent.
Yeah.
If you're not a jerk parent, like, we're kind of in on you. You know what I mean? Whether your kid stinks or not. And I think about all of the rides that you have to give your child all across town, to games, to practice, to this, to that, and the effort and the energy. And if you think that these guys just get to where they're at because of their own work by themselves, like, no, you're sadly mistaken. It's as much to do with the coaches and the parents and all of the family members that have helped them, and brothers and sisters or whomever, get to that point. And no, it's not the final destination, but the celebrations amongst the family members, because it's a shared experience along the way.
It
is really special. It is.
It's a special
thing.
When you say that, you know where my mind actually goes to? And it can work two ways, right? It can be the parents and their situation could help draft prospect, right? Could just see where he's grown up, where he's his values are instilled, or it could hurt them. Deion Sanders with Shador right now. I can't not think about that when you're talking about parents and if they're getting in the way of their kid getting drafted. Like, I don't think Deion's the reason why Shador fell, but there's clearly something there, or maybe it was all, and we'll ask Baldy here in a couple minutes. There was clearly a disconnect between the prognosticators, the Mel Kuypers, the Daniel Jeremiahs, and then the actual head coaches and GMs around the NFL. There was a disconnect there when it came to what Shador did at Colorado and it translating to the NFL and Jackson State, obviously, and what took place yesterday, because it felt like for months, Joe, it was Cam Ward and Shador, they were locks in the first round in top 10. And then something happened within the last month or so where we weren't even talking about him being a top 10 pick. We weren't even talking about him being drafted in the first round at all. Like that, That's fascinating to me. So is that character? Was it the way he was talking? Was it the way he was doing interviews? Was it the lack of combine? Like, I don't know what's baked into it, because I do want to ask Baldy about that, why he is falling so much. And, you know, do you take a flyer on him if you're the Niners? I know it sounds insane, but if you're talking about this contract negotiation and paying Brock $50 to $55 million, and you see the talent of a Shador, I know maybe the talent's not there for a lot of the other GMs, but maybe Kyle Shanahan sees something in it. I know it sounds crazy, but if he falls to, what is it, 41, 40-something, like 43, there you go. Maybe you take a flyer on him. I don't know. It's just interesting when he brought up the parent aspect in me, and I'm just thinking about Dion, and I'm thinking about Shador yesterday, yeah. And how could you not? Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Look, you have to assume that because of the way the league is structured now, a lot of these coaches either know Dion or have some feel with Dion or have coached someone that Dion was coaching or have some ties to, you know, playing or coaching during his era. Like, there's a lot of people that speak highly of Dion. People that I've heard who were actually his coaches say that Dion himself was a student of the game and would sit in the front row with notes and everything. And, like, I don't think you become one of the greatest players of all time by just blowing off all the hard work that goes into it.
No, absolutely not.
But that being said, there's a talent factor of this where I don't know how people assess the talent, the personality. Aaron Rodgers' personality rubbed people the wrong way, hence why he dropped to 24. There's talent assessment where why didn't everybody think that Lamar Jackson wasn't a top 15 pick, and yet he falls all the way to Baltimore? But what did both of those guys have in their favor? They made the most of a situation that actually ended up benefiting them the best. They went to better organizations and then proved everyone wrong. So Shador has that opportunity to pull off right now.
Let's go to David in South San Francisco real quick before we get to Baldy. David, what's going on, man? How are we feeling about the Mykal Williams pick?
Real good. I was hoping to back up Bosa, put pressure on the opposing team. One of my thoughts last season was if they could just stop the other team's offense and sack the quarterback more, maybe get some picks, a few more picks, they could really turn the season around. That's about all I got.
There you go.
They definitely
short,
need
succinct,
it.
Love it.
I mean, I had it written down. They need at least four impact defensive linemen. And when I mean impact, I mean like playing a bulk of the snaps here. You know, you're probably looking at somewhere between 700 and 900 snaps for each defensive line position at minimum. They had a total of over 1,000 snaps on defense the last couple of years. Like, that's the average. So that's what you're looking at from starter production. And if you can get another couple D tackles, maybe another edge guy late, another linebacker, like, they're not done. They need six guys on that side of the ball.
We're efforting Brian Baldinger here. But in the meantime, I want to hear from John Lynch and what he had to say yesterday, general manager of the San Francisco 49ers. Him and Shanahan spoke to the media after the pick. Let's start here. We'll go through it all from top to bottom. They thought Williams was going to go earlier, and they were potentially trying to trade up to get him.
Did you try to trade up to get him?
May have. I may have. And I don't know. No, we tried. And thank God they took someone else because he was still there when we were picked. So we're happy.
Here's John Lynch talking about him, the player, saying he's the best edge setter in college football. Wow.
Specifically to that, you know, I was just talking to Chris Kocurek, and he said this, and, you know, when we went through our draft meetings, I think he's the best edge setter in college football. I think he's the best edge setter in this draft class. So if that's the premise of one of the things that's a hallmark of what we want in an edge guy, he does it extremely well. I think that was impressive. Again, I mentioned the ability. He plays outside. He can come inside in the sub rush packages and rush over guards. I think, you know, him being 20 years old but having a maturity and a way about him when he came through here, we felt that. We felt his presence. They talk about it at Georgia, his leadership and all those things, and you could feel it. He's just very comfortable in his own skin, and that was impressive when you put it along with together with the film.
I do always like when, obviously, he's the general manager, and this is NFL draft, so this is his wheelhouse, so you hear from him more than the head coach. But specifically with defensive players, John Lynch does love it. He's a Hall of Fame defensive player in his own right, so I do trust him in his, you know, his words when it comes to guys like this and when it comes to character, because I always thought that John Lynch was one of those guys as well. So we got Brian Baldinger on the line, Joe.
No.
Let's just, I just stopped my train of thought. I was like, you know what, just stop what I'm saying. We got Baldy on the line. He's joining us courtesy of the River Islands guest line. We got the open, though. Do we got it? You got it? Hit it.
He breaks down plays better than anyone.
I mean, this is like Shark Week now. And you know what Baker Mayfield is? He's chum. Look at these sharks. You think you're getting away from those four angry sharks? It's Shark Week. Time to eat. Make the read. Urgency. That's the name of the game right here. Urgency. Now, on it. He's on it. Touchdown. Beautiful throw.
He's our 95.7 The Game NFL insider, Brian Baldinger.
And Baldy is presented by our proud partner, Golden State, serving the Bay Area for three generations. Building better starts with Golden State. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoldenStateLumber.com. And hopefully the Niners succeed with Mykel Williams, drafted 11th overall out of the University of Georgia yesterday. Baldy, good morning. It's Spadoni. It's Shasky. I'd love me some NFL draft, but I gotta be honest, here in the Bay, it's been a little quieter. There's this thing happening with the Golden State Warriors called the playoffs. They haven't been in a while. Jimmy Butler got hurt. Thankfully it's just a deep glute contusion. So hopefully he's back for game three. So that's kind of dominated our airwaves, but we've been talking a lot of draft this morning and Mykel Williams and just the 49ers outside of Nick Bosa on this D line. They desperately needed some help. So what is Mykel Williams bringing to the party next year in Santa Clara? And good morning to you, Baldy.
Yeah, good morning, guys. I love him. I thought he was the second best edge rusher in a deep, deep defensive line draft. I think I've been playing at Georgia ever since he was a freshman. Played on the national championship team with Jalen Carter and a bunch of those guys up there, Nolan Smith. He's got great length. Long arms, knows how to set a mean edge, can really play up and down your defensive line. I mean, he's an edge rusher, but he can play your three technique in passing situations. He can go inside because he can handle double teams. He's just got tremendous size at 6'5", really long arms, got almost a 7-foot wingspan, knows how to use them. But he reminds me, honestly, of Trayvon Walker, who was a number one pick a couple years ago by Jacksonville. He has that type of power. He got hurt last year in the first game of the year against Clemson, high ankle sprain, battled through it all year. So he didn't have quite the production that some people predicted, but he also demonstrated a lot of toughness. Like I saw John Lynch at the Senior Bowl this year, and it's a deep, I said, as soon as we left there, we knew it was a deep and talented defensive line draft. 10 guys got taken last night in the first round. And there'll be a bunch more here today in the second round. But you know, and look, Mykel wasn't there. He was resting up at that time. But like I thought the 49ers got themselves a really good compliment opposite Nick Bosa right now as they try to build this defensive line.
I'm going to ask you more about the player himself and how he fits, but did you like where they picked him? Meaning, yes. Was he the best available for the Niners, and would you have taken him there as opposed to another player or another position?
Well, I mean, you could have gone like two picks after him. Miami took Kenneth Grant. So you really had a choice. Do you want the edge guy or do you want the defensive tackle? Like Kenneth Grant's a massive defensive tackle. He went 13 to Miami. I'm pretty sure that if he was there at 21, Pittsburgh would have taken him. That was their guy that they wanted. Walter Nolan went a couple picks. Like these guys were falling off the boards. I love Mykel Williams. So you have a choice. You want the best interior defensive lineman, Joe, or do you want the best edge guy? I think the edge guys are harder to find, and I think he's got special quality. So I thought it was perfect. I mean, they're probably pretty lucky that the Bears decided tight end was a better choice, or the Saints thought Kelvin Banks was a better choice. Because if I was either one of those places, or Carolina, like I would have taken Mykel Williams over any of the guys that they just took at 8, 9, or 10.
Wow. No, that's good. That's good to know because, you know, they were asked yesterday, hey, did you try to trade up? And, you know, Lynch kind of played it coy and whatnot. So, you know, I like Jalen Walker as well from Georgia. I think there was an argument to be made for him. The kid Campbell from Alabama, because missing Greenlaw is a big miss. But I'm not trying to judge this off of one pick. This is an entire offseason, right, and you have a whole draft. So I want to see how the rest of the draft plays out. How does this player look in this system? Wide nine, Chris Kocurek, Robert Saleh. Do you like the fit?
Yeah. I mean, they're a four-man front team. They do generally like the wide nines. He was not a wide nine rusher
at Georgia. They don't play that style, but nobody really does in college. But he's got enough speed to be able to collapse a pocket, speed to power. All these guys need to work on their moves and work on an array of moves to set guys up. That's all. That's Kucerov's job, is to, you know, really work on pass rush and become a true specialist in this business. Very few guys come in polished like that. Just because of the style of offenses that college plays and how quickly the ball is basically out of the quarterback's hands, they don't get a lot of, you know, five-step and seven-step drop in college. So, but but he's got everything you need to work with to become an elite player.
Talking to Brian Baldinger here on the River Islands guest line, Spadoni and Chasky, the Morning Rose Baldy breakdowns after not a crazy first round in the NFL draft, but there was some shockingness that I want to get to. I don't even know if that's a word, shockingness, but the Jags, the Browns, obviously Shador falling. We'll get to that a little bit later. But Baldy, just talking about him as the player, right? I heard a lot from whether it's the Mel Kuypers, the Daniel Jeremiahs, the Joel, everyone talking about him against the run. He's pretty damn good, if not one of the best, when it comes against the run and setting that tone there. The pass rush win rate wasn't the greatest. That's, I guess, an area of improvement. Is that something you see him getting better with in the NFL? Is that the biggest area of improvement for his game, is, you know, getting to the quarterback and getting the sack totals up?
Well, I mean, you have to, you know, you got to get into pass rush situations first. The guy's great against the run. He's got great length. He sets a good edge. Like, he's a big, strong kid. Now, pass rush win rate, I don't know. Like, it's just a number to me. I don't know how they evaluate these things in college. I mean, you know, you're at Georgia and you're playing Ole Miss and Jackson Dart. I mean, there's a million bubble screens out there. You're not getting the quarterback against those type of offenses. So, like, I'm not worried about that. I think you want a guy that fills out a uniform, that comes off the ball with an explosive first step. He's going to come with power. Collapsing a pocket is as important as sacking quarterbacks. The numbers will come. Probably not in the first year, because the things that you have to deal with as a rookie, whether it's the style of offenses, how they slide, chip, tight ends on the field, all the stuff that you have to beat, that Nick has to deal with every day, it's going to make Nick better. Like, it's going to take a lot of the attention away from him. I expect Nick to have a really good year next year, but Michael's going to be I don't have any question that this kid, and I don't know him personally, so I don't know exactly how he's wired, but I have a feeling he's going to be a really good player for a long time. And look, Saleh is a front four dominated defensive coordinator. That's what he did in San Francisco. That's what he did with the Jets. He wants, to our little thing that we play, he wants angry sharks getting after quarterbacks. Yeah. And I think he's going to fit that mode.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, this defense was so bad last year, Baldy. They gave up 2,200 yards on the ground, 4.5 yards a carry. They only had 37 sacks because, again, if you can't stop the run, teams aren't even going to pass. You don't even need to pass. They gave up 25 rushing touchdowns and 125 yards per game on the ground. What would be your next?
Joe, hold on, Joe, hold on one second. The worst, Joe, you can make all those numbers are true.
Yes, yes.
But remember how Seattle went down the field to win the game against them?
Thank you.
Like, it was like a hot knife through butter. It was embarrassing. Now, Nick went off the field. Like, they had nobody. Like, nobody could do anything. And the Geno Smith looked like he was John Elway coming down the field.
I completely agree. And that's why, like, to me, I get it. Like, there are other players people like. They need to make four or five more picks over the next however many on that defensive side of the ball. D-tackle, linebacker. Like, I don't know how they...
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
How do you feel about the kid that they have, 53, who barely played last year? It felt like Devondre Campbell got way more looks than him. Like, I still think you got to replace Dre Greenlaw somewhere, and you got to get a couple of D tackles. Who are some names around 43 that maybe you like? Before we get to the rest of the teams in the country, like, where are you targeting if you're the Niners? Would it be a D tackle? Is there good value there in the 40s? Or is there a linebacker you like? Or maybe a free safety that you like? I still think they need to continue to double down on defense.
Well, I mean, I love Carson Schlesinger at UCLA. I mean, to me, my comp for him is Fred Warner. Like, he's going to be somewhere in the second round or third round, just like Fred was. But this kid, like, he had an unbelievable year at UCLA, and the guy's got great instincts, and his speed to the ball is crazy. And I know a lot of teams, I know Cincinnati values him. I mean, I know teams that really like him. But, I mean, Schlesinger is a guy, if you're looking for a compliment to Fred losing Greenlaw and, you know, all Oren Burks, all the guys that were in there, like, that'd be a guy that I would certainly target at this point right now. But, look, there's tremendous depth in this defensive, you know, tackle position. Alfred Collins at Texas, Cam Jackson at Kentucky, Shamar Turner at Texas A&M, you know, this kid from Florida State is a really big, Joshua Farmer is a massive kid inside that's got size and moves really well. I mean, there's great depth still. Dayone Walker at Kentucky. Like, I saw these guys at the Senior Bowl, they all look like they had NFL bodies. They got to learn the game. They got to, you got to improve. You got to work, all that stuff. But that's what coaching is all about. But there's Jamari Caldwell at Oregon. I mean, there's great depth at defensive line in this draft. I think you could get some of those guys I just mentioned in the third round. But this Carson Schlesinger, I'm telling you, honestly, when I watch him play, I think of Fred coming out of BYU.
Talking to Brian Baldinger here on the River Islands guest line. Baldy, conversely, on the opposite end, on the offensive line, is there anyone the 49ers could potentially target leading into the second and third round?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of good, you know, interior offensive linemen in this draft, you know. And so, you know, we saw Gray Zabel go and Tyler Booker and Donovan Jackson. But, you know, all those kids from Georgia, Tate Ratledge is really athletic. You know, Marcus Membu, yeah, those are interior guys. You know, but if you're looking at, you know, tackles right now, Ariante Ursary from Minnesota is a natural left tackle, all right? You look at, you know, a guy like Anthony Belton at North Carolina State, looks like a guy that can line up and play for you and to be developed. The elite guys all went, but Ozzie Capillo, you know, at Boston College is 6'8". He's a natural right tackle, you know, that played a lot of football. If you wanted, you know, a center, Kendall from Boston College, the guy that, you know, his dad played 13 years in this league. This kid played 37 straight games for Boston College, was coached by NFL offensive line coaches. Like, there's still great depth where you can find starters at both defensive tackle and offensive line right now.
Yeah, you know, there's been a lot of, like, I would call it rumors amongst the 49er fans, people that cover the team. Trade George Kittle, trade Brock Purdy, you know, take Shedeur Sanders. And I'm thinking to myself, like, look, what, they have so many holes right now. Why would we want to create new ones? So, like, for example, with Shedeur falling the way that he is, it's laughable for the Niners to maybe even consider him currently. To me, at least, it is right now. But what were your thoughts on Shedeur Sanders falling? Remove the 49er aspect of it. Are you surprised?
No, I'm not surprised. I mean, was it a great draft for quarterbacks? I mean, the Giants traded back in the first round with the Rams to get a quarterback. But they didn't like the interview with Shedeur. A lot of people didn't. A lot of people don't like his, you know, but, I mean, the player itself is a good player. I didn't think he had a great pro day. I was there analyzing every throw, and I didn't think he looked like an NFL arm. The ball comes out a little loose, a lot, you know, and he's got good deep ball accuracy, but how many deep shots do you take in any game in the NFL? Like, you got to be able to stick your speed outs and your dig routes, and he didn't look great doing it. You know, he probably was a second or third round pick all along. And just because of his last name, people wanted to, and because he had some success at Jackson State and in Colorado, they want to put him in this first round category. But we see guys overdrafted that can't play. Mitch Trubisky, Zach Wilson, we see this all the time. And I'm not putting him in that category because he's better than those guys. But Blake Bortles, I mean, he's better. Like, he understands offenses, but it was a very simplistic offense. I mean, it was Chip Kelly's offense that he ran at Colorado last year. So I'm not surprised. If he doesn't go in the second round, it won't surprise me. People aren't in love with him. They're not in love with this draft class. I mean, Bo Nix would have been taken over all these guys last year, and he was the sixth quarterback taken.
Wow.
No, it's a great point. Baldy, what was your favorite pick yesterday? And what was one that maybe left you scratching your head as we talked about the first round yesterday? Obviously, Genty going to the 6th overall to the Raiders. You had Jacksonville. I don't think anyone saw that trading all the way up to get Travis Hunter 2nd overall. You had the Rams trading out of the first round. You got the Falcons trading back into it, taking Pierce. So what was your favorite pick overall yesterday? And what was one where you're like, huh, didn't see that coming?
Well, I kind of, you know, without saying exactly what was going to happen, I thought Jacksonville was going to trade and try to get to 2 to get. I mean, this is the first time general manager Gladstone, new president Viscelli, new coach Liam Cohen, they're in Jacksonville. Nobody pays attention to them. I think they wanted to make a splash. I've already seen the odds, Joe. So, like right now, Travis Hunter is like number 3 to be the offensive player of the year, offensive rookie of the year, and number 2 to be the defensive rookie of the year next to Abdul Carter. I mean, there was basically 5 great players in this draft, and it was Carter, it was Abdul, it was Genty. I mean, that's it. So I thought they gave up a lot next year's number 1 to move up 3 spots, but they got a guy that I want to see what Liam Cohen does with Travis Hunter. I think he's going to be the most popular player in the league. We're going to see these crazy highlights of him every week. I love the kid. I love the person, the kid, and the ability. So I thought that was the coolest part of the whole draft, was seeing that thing get done.
You know, I love my linebackers. I feel like we devalue them. I think when you find a great one, they just never come off the field. I loved the kid, Walker from Georgia, and I love Campbell. I just hate that he went to the Eagles. Do you like those picks? Because those were guys that Niner fans were considering the Dre Greenlaw absence.
Well, look, I mean, Jalen Walker, I just want to see how they use him. He's not a great pass rusher. He's a great athlete that can come off the edge. Same thing with Jihad. Jihad, you know, is bigger. Like, he's 245 pounds, and he runs a 4.5. Like, I love the kid. He's the best linebacker in this draft. And I can't wait to see how Vic Fangio uses him. Because both these kids can spy on third down against Josh Allen or Lamar. Like, that's valuable. They can come off the edge. They can blitz. I know Jihad can cover a good tight end. You know, if he's got Kittle on third downs, you can lock him up. He can run with them. We'll see if, you know, Kittle beats him. But there's so many different ways you can use these guys. And now it's up to the coordinators to put them in these positions and create packages for them. So the Eagles, like, that was the first-round pick at linebacker they've used since they drafted Jerry Robinson out of UCLA in 1979. And that's after they gave Zach Bond a boatload of money for the next 4 years. Like, Vic Fangio's like, give me these linebackers. I'll show you how to use them. And so it's a good fit for what they're doing, and he's the best linebacker in this draft. Like, I love Jahad Campbell.
Hey, Baldy, great stuff. We really appreciate the time, man. I know you're so – this is probably one of the more busy weekends for you, so we really appreciate you taking the time with us this morning. Good luck the rest of the weekend, man.
I look forward to it, guys. You bet, anytime.
There he goes. That's Brian Baldinger, courtesy of the River Islands Guest Line. As all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands Guest Line, isn't it time for you to discover the islands? River Islands in Lathrop. He loves the pick. That's what I gathered. He loves the pick.
It's funny, you know, like I see a lot of people, like, everybody loves every pick. And when talking about these analysts.
That's true.
I think Baldy's pretty fair. Now, things that he puts out video-wise online to hype up certain fan bases and picks, he's trying to be optimistic for those fan bases. But he will tell you if he does not like the fit or the player at a particular place, he's not going to hold back. The guy is a football junkie. Like a junkie.
Yeah. I feel like he scoffed when I hit him with the pass rush win rate, and he's like, I don't know what the hell that is. I was like, I'm just saying, that's what people say. That's the jargon we like to use, yes, right, to pump up someone. It's like, oh, well, Pro Football Focus said this, and then I don't know. I know old school guys like Baldy kind of scoff at that stuff. It's like, what do the eyes tell you? Well, the eyes tell him the guy played as a true freshman on a deep and stacked Georgia roster when they won a championship. I mean, that's got to mean something.
I rat-a-tat-tatted all of the stats about how bad the Niner defense was, and he cut me off and was like, just go to the end of that Seattle game, which I've referenced how many times.
And he said Geno Smith looked like John Elway.
He was incredible. he literally great. Night-nighted you.
That
right?
was the, and, that was the low watermark of the season.
100%.
Geno Smith going night-night.
And this is where, like, I get frustrated at times with just sports conversations. We obsess about these random numbers to prove whether someone's good or not. And yeah, that data
is numbers, and numbers are numbers.
Oh, okay. Like that data is important to help support an argument, but it can't be the end all be all, and it can't dictate everything. Like the game I just watched has to factor in somewhat. Form,
right?
Like, are you playing well? Has to matter. When and where some of the data comes from. Like, for example, as we talk about Brock Purdy, I like Brock a lot, but it's hard to unsee some of the fourth quarter interceptions. That doesn't mean he sucks, though.
Not all Stephen Curry 30-point games are built the same.
Exactly.
How many turnovers did he have? What was his efficiency? You got to look inside the game as well.
So as we talk about this kid Williams, who was drafted by the 49ers, I see a lot of people like, he didn't put up these gaudy numbers. Well, and this is where like the draft geeks who grind tape would tell you, like, okay, maybe he didn't make the tackle, but was he the one causing disruption? Eric Armstead's entire career with the Niners, it's not gaudy statistically, but he blew up a lot of plays, and he was much more impactful. Justin Smith doesn't have a lot of sacks, but you ask a Niner fan from that era, and they'll say, it's one of the greatest Niners of all time. One of the great players.
One thing I do know about Mykal Williams is I don't want to see him on the injury report next year.
It's time for the injury report.
That really hurts.
Brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years.
Will Jimmy Butler play tomorrow night? He was diagnosed with a deep glute muscle contusion, or in Lubman's terms, a bruise on his butt. His status for tomorrow night's game is very much in jeopardy. The good news is, this was the best news the Warriors could have hoped for, as the MRI yesterday revealed no structural damage. The chances that Jimmy plays tomorrow will hinge on how well his body responds to treatments between now and tip-off. The injury report was brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years. What's coming up with the game is brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. We'll get more into the NFL draft, but also want to talk about this Jimmy Butler injury. What does it mean going forward? If he can't go game three, who needs to step up? What does that mean for JK? What does that mean for the others? We'll get all into it. We're halfway home on a payday Friday, plus Bonta Hill in studio at 9 o'clock. It's Spadoni, it's Chasky. Come on back, 95.7 The Game.